Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu and Jeffy, and today for Mr. Glenn Beck, who returns from vacation next week. We talk a little bit about abortion here in the first hour. There's been another church defaced by graffiti, and it comes to the pro-choice side of the argument. The back and forth here is really, it's telling, because one side is just not telling the truth on it.
Right.
They change their terms, they change their words, they talk about everything but the thing they want. And that is pretty revealing, that the thing that they want is maybe not all that appetizing.
Hour two is something that everybody seemed pretty passionate about, the robocalls that we get on our cell phones all the time. Absolutely obnoxious.
Yes.
But could they be curtailed? It's possible. The FCC might allow phone companies to stop those calls
so that
we won't have to be bothered by them anymore. It'd be awesome.
That's, in a way, it's actually a removal of a restriction on business, too.
Like, yeah.
Because right now, the phone companies can't prevent them. And then you'd say, well, now you can prevent them. So maybe there's a free market argument for this after
Hopefully,
all.
Hopefully, yes.
Also, we have Elizabeth Warren and her new spending proposals, which are going to bankrupt the entire society. But don't worry. She's just going to raise taxes on the rich. You don't have to worry about it. A bizarre moment with Ben Carson. Mm-hmm. We'll play the audio of it. I don't even know what to say about that anymore. I mean, It's been a strange journey with Ben.
It has. Mm-hmm. It has.
It's all coming up on today's podcast.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today it's Pat and Stu for Glenn. And the Glenn Beck Program is Stu Returns.
Woo!
How was your time off? Good?
Oh, it was fantastic, Pat. Yeah.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm. Yourself? How was your day off?
They were all fantastic.
Okay, good.
They were
good
awesome.
To hear.
It was great to continue to work.
I feel like I heard from basically every conversation I had while I was off the air was about abortion.
Oh,
which
really?
You're like, that doesn't lead to a lot of comfortable conversations, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe babies being alive is worth a couple uncomfortable conversations.
That's kind of what I think, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have this weird urge to have babies be alive for longer periods.
Huh.
Maybe babies could turn into children. And if you know this, Pat, children are our future. So that's important.
That's what I've heard, yeah. Also, a lot of those children are going to be women one day.
You think?
So, yeah.
Do you have any evidence of that?
It does seem to be a women's rights thing to me as well. So we'll get into that and a lot more in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
A church was defaced in Delaware County. Which is that in Pennsylvania? Delaware County? It's in the Philadelphia diocese, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Vandals tagged the church with abortion rights graffiti, saying you do not have the right to decide how others lives.
That is a fair point.
I've
been trying to figure out when others lives for many years. And
you don't have the right to decide now. Yeah. We know that.
Now I can decide up for myself, but I can't put onto others when others lives.
Right.
And that is, I think, the distinction they're looking for in the graffiti.
I mean, when you're writing this, I can understand it when you screw up and speak it live to somebody. But when you're writing it, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to add the S there.
It makes a lot of sense to try to do a draft of each project you're going into in the graffiti world.
Yes,
Pat.
If you're going to deface churches.
Right. Go to a bridge first, like under a bridge where no one can see it, and try out your message there. See how it looks. Take a couple steps back. You know, turn your iPhone flashlight on it. Make sure it looks right.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to the church
to deface
it.
The church.
Right? How many times have we seen, you know, white supremacists screw up a swastika on a church? And then, look, it's just embarrassing.
It's
if you're going to put a swastika on a religious establishment, it's important to understand which way the lines go.
How do you expect people to join your terrorist group?
Exactly.
When you can't even... You can't even spell live.
I honestly think half of these church burnings are just because they screwed up the graffiti and then they were embarrassed about it and just burned the church down.
Just burned it down.
Screw it.
That's really embarrassing.
I don't have science behind that one, but I think that might be to blame.
But I think you might be onto something. even at the churches now, we're being attacked for believing in life. And, you know, it seems like life is something that would be okay to believe in. The babies should be born. It'd be okay with most people. And apparently that's not the case in the United States in the year 2019. It's not okay that you believe in life and want babies to live.
Yeah, it was really interesting being off for a few days and talking outside of these walls, because here we've talked about the life issue for a very long time, and I'm sure you know that if you listen. But it's interesting how that's breaking through as far as the conversation outside now. I think it's one of the big political topics right now.
Yeah,
which usually means something bad. You know, usually at the end of the day, when a normal political conversation turns into the conversation you're having outside in normal, in normal person-to-person interaction, a lot of times what it turns into is a nonstop politics. Good example of this is the trade issue. For years and years and years, it was unions and Democrats saying we need tariffs and restrictions on trade, and Republicans saying we don't need tariffs and we don't want restrictions on trade, we want free trade. And that was sort of the wonky sort of think tank debate that went on for a really, really long time. And then Donald Trump has come out, and he's obviously much more friendly to tariffs and trade restrictions. And now it just turned into teams. You see the same people who were arguing unions and we absolutely need these tariffs. We got to stop this free trade stuff. That's all this, crazy voodoo economics and all the stuff that's going on the other side. And then now it's like, well, it's just become people who like Trump back him on it, and people who don't like Trump attack him on it. It's just people have just switched sides. And I think when you define, especially with someone like Trump, who's so good at taking an issue and owning it, he just is so he has such an ability to be able to just dominate a conversation. And people, you see it on cable news all the time. They can't agree with anything he says, no matter what it is, even if it's a position they've held for 50 years. They can't agree with him.
Right.
So it just turns into this team thing. And I'm afraid at some level that's happening with abortion here, where, again, if you look at the polling on abortion, this third trimester abortion, which has been the general focus of this debate, is 84 to 14 against. The American people despise third term abortion. They always have. Everyone knows it's a horrific, horrific thing.
84% of Americans don't agree on the sky being blue.
Yeah. Really, almost nothing.
That's incredible. Number of people to agree.
There's almost nothing in our political debate that is so universal.
You could almost say that's unanimous. That's every right-thinking person in America believes that late-term abortion isn't right.
And that's not, Governor Northam, after they're born, they'll make a decision on whether you keep them alive. It's not even 5 minutes before birth. It's third trimester. So you're talking, month seven. Month seven. That's way earlier than the types of things that Democratic candidates are involved in. And think about this for a second. You have something that's unpopular to the level of 84%. And the Democrats have pulled out 24 candidates, and not one of them will say that that's wrong. One of them.
That's staggering.
Staggering. There is an argument to be made, and people who are pro-choice do make it, in that essentially it's a slippery slope, right? And there's somewhat of an equivalency with the Second Amendment argument. There probably is some sort of common sense restriction on guns that Republicans could get on board on. Every once in a while you see background checks, and it polls really well. However, most people who really care about the Second Amendment are like, look, I don't want those things because I know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're going to ask for 1 inch, you're going to take a mile, and then you'll take 10 miles, and then you'll take the entire globe.
Now.
And we're seeing it right now. We're seeing with Beto O'Rourke came out against all semi-automatic weapons.
Yeah.
These are things that are way beyond what they said they were asking for in the common sense realm just a few months ago. So as a Second Amendment guy, and I'm not a huge gun guy, but I'm a huge Second Amendment guy, and I know you're the same way, I don't want to give 1 inch on any of this stuff because they're coming for all of it. So maybe that's the same thing with some people on the abortion argument. They think they're going to come for first trimester abortion. So they defend to the death 5 minutes before, birth abortions. Defend to the death being pretty appropriate here. It's so incredibly unpopular. Second trimester abortions are also incredibly unpopular. I think it's a 37-point gap to the negative on second trimester abortions.
On whether they should be allowed.
Right. They should. Yeah. Everyone says second and third trimester abortions should be illegal.
That's why the only one that polls well is the first trimester.
It's the first trimester, and it's slightly positive. However, again, like Republicans in general, and Alabama is an exception here, as they were going after basically 6 weeks or so. Most Republican states are asking for 20-week abortion bans. That's the typical Republican position.
Interestingly, though, this week there was a poll that said 55% of Americans are in favor of the heartbeat bills. That's amazing, really. You wouldn't, to listen to these Democrats, you wouldn't think that
anyone
would be in favor of the heartbeat bill, but 55%, that's most Americans that as soon as you know there's a heartbeat, you can't have an abortion. And then you look at that, and then you see the stance of all of these candidates on the Democrat side, and it just doesn't add up. Doesn't make any sense.
They can't find one. I mean, this is a party, like, you know, one of the biggest abortion rulings in the Supreme Court was Casey. And, you know, this goes back to, you know, years and years ago now. But now you have a Democratic senator, right, named Casey, same family, and they can't find one candidate. One candidate to come out. I mean, it used to be that there were pro-life Democrats. This used to be something. And while it was always hard for us to understand, because how can you be on the side of the party that's fighting for unlimited abortions? They still had them. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the point where, like, can you even enter this race if you happen to be pro-life?
I don't think so.
I don't think you can even enter it.
I don't know if you can enter the Democrat Party if you're pro-life anymore.
I don't see how they
Seem to be any place for a pro-life person in the Democrat Party anymore.
Yeah, and you could say, well, it's just one issue. I agree with them on these other things. And I understand that instinct. But when we're talking about live, I mean, how many millions? 60 million
people. It's like 62 people, million now.
62 million people that should be living aren't, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because of this one policy. It's a pretty big deal. And if you believe, it's a big deal at some level if you're on the left, right? Because you think of it as a cultural issue. You think of it as, well, I mean, I don't think many people actually believe it's women's rights, but it's at least a stand-in for women's rights, right? Mm-hmm. No one cares what you do to your body if it doesn't affect another life. It's only a matter of if another person's rights are affected. But, you know, it's a stand-in for women's rights. It's kind of a generic summary of women's rights, and it's something that they say they need to defend. So at some level, it's important to the left, but it's really more of just a cultural issue. To the right, we're talking about people living and dying. And if you're saying that this is an actual life, it obviously has to be the most important thing, right? If the end of this is 60 million people that should be alive aren't, what other policy has that effect on anything? I mean, you know, we've made this point before, Pat, that we could probably come in here every day and we would bore the hell out of you in the audience. But we could come in here every day and talk about abortion, and our ratings would be like 0.004. However, morally, I could be completely content with that. I could be completely content with that. Because there's no other issue, with the possible exception, and it's a much larger and more difficult road, of just generally speaking capitalism, right? Because capitalism really has ripped billions of people out of poverty, and you can make the argument that it's even more important, I guess. But when you're talking about just a law that could be changed, a ruling that could be changed, that could just protect millions and millions of lives, there's just nothing that competes with abortion. It's the most simple road to keep tens of millions of people, which are also will grow up to be women, will grow up to be minorities, will grow up to be will have different sexual orientations. Many of them probably, you know, just because of the fact that Planned Parenthood just loves to target inner city neighborhoods, probably most of them wind up voting for Democrats. Like, this is an argument in which Republicans are just saying, please, Lord God, let us give you more voters.
Right.
Right.
How many of them would have been out of 62 million people? Could one of them have been another Einstein?
Absolutely.
Could one of them have been another Madame Curie?
Yeah.
Could one of them have cured cancer?
And many of them.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Maybe 10 million of them would have been awful.
Right.
They still should have the chance to be good. Right?
That's right.
They could all be the most annoying. They could all be the people who are programming the robocalls. Like, I don't care if all of them, all 60 million, got into the robocall industry. They still deserve
That's
the right
tougher,
to life.
But okay. Kirsten Gillibrand was talking about abortion yesterday. You know, basic civil rights. Here she was on MSNBC.
What would you say to taxpayers out there who say, look, I support everyone having their own freedoms, but that when it comes to my tax dollars, abortion isn't something that I want to support?
You know, we have a tenet in our Constitution. It's called separation of church and state.
Oh, really?
And I do not believe that that is a valid argument. I think that the Hyde Amendment should be repealed and that we actually need to make sure that women, regardless of their income level, have a basic right to reproductive care. It's about our humanity and it's about our basic civil rights.
A basic right to reproductive care.
Well, it's in the Constitution, Pat.
Uh-huh.
And
it's
when I
not.
Say in it, it's I think it's on the back and a fold. It's folded in, on it. So if you open
in
up
invisible
the fold,
ink,
it is
and
an
I think
invisible.
You have to heat it up like they did on what was that? What was that Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, National Treasure.
Yeah, National Treasure. You got to take a blow dryer, and you got to be really careful. A little lemon juice on it.
Yep.
And then the blow dryer, and it'll show up.
Amazing. The founders predicted the blow dryer,
right?
Which is I thought pretty impressive because they didn't even have a lot of electricity at the time.
I think some of them assumed you could just do it with your hot breath, but then other founders said, no, they're going to invent something eventually where they can dry their hair really quick. I think that'll do the job.
Because separation of church and state, not in the Constitution.
Not
Pat.
In the Constitution.
It was
no.
in a letter.
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson.
In 1803, to a Baptist minister in Connecticut, who was asking about, you know, hey, are we going to be in trouble here with the state because we're not of the state religion? And that's where it came in.
So
now,
you've
got to separate. It's a protection against the religion, not the government. You don't have to protect the state from religion.
That's pretty incredible. It's really the exact reverse.
The exact opposite.
Of the way it's talked about now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that a senator who's running for president is not aware that the separation of church and state is in the Constitution, is not in the Constitution, is pretty stunning in a normal time. With this field, it's not stunning
it's
at all.
Not.
Because there are 24 candidates up there now. Bill de Blasio getting in while I was on vacation.
You haven't even moved him over on
no,
the board yet.
He's still on our on-the-fence list.
I think he's pretty hacked off about that.
But. Yeah, that was a big part of his initial press conference. Mm-hmm. Why have I not been moved on the Glenn Beck presidential board? But, you know, the fact that she doesn't even know that. And then you realize when people on the left talk about abortion, you just realize they're just saying things that don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, this sort of prenatal, like reproductive health care concept, like there's a reason you have to make up a fake term for it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it's not reproductive health care. That is not what an abortion is. Reproductive health care might mean making sure you have the right nutrients and vitamins. If you have there's an issue with, morning sickness, reproductive health care. Absolutely. Postpartum depression, reproductive health care. I'm willing to go to any of those. So, I mean, that makes sense. Obviously, the baby itself, whether you're having an internal lady issue, whatever the issue, just killing the baby is not reproductive health. It is
right.
not. That's not what it is.
Right. Because it's not healthy for the baby. I don't know if people are aware of that. That's not health care. When you're killing someone.
No. I mean, just like, you know, assisted suicide comes around and it's like, well, should people be able to kill themselves? We made the point, it's very difficult to prevent them to. Right? Like, it's really like you can make all the laws you want saying don't kill yourself. What are you going to do afterwards? Fine the guy? You're going to give him a ticket after they're dead? Like, generally speaking, it's difficult to stop people from killing themselves. But the reproductive health care, having a doctor come in and keep you out of pain with certain drugs, all that can be defined as healthcare. Actually killing the patient cannot be defined as healthcare. Like, that's just not healthcare.
It's not.
Ending lives is not healthcare. It's not what it is. It's something else. And you might like it, but it's still not healthcare. And they just say reproductive healthcare. They say women's rights because these are stand-ins for the terrible thing that they're arguing for.
Also, prenatal care is not something that Planned Parenthood even does.
No.
They don't even do prenatal health care.
No. They don't do the cancer screenings. They don't do breast cancer screenings. They can refer you to get one, which is really
right.
helpful.
But they don't do mammograms, and we hear that all the time. Well, you're cutting off people's ability to get a mammogram. They don't even do them. You can't even get one there.
No.
And it's like Planned Parenthood is the only place on earth that does healthcare, which they don't really do at all. Yeah. And now it's the opposite. They put in the in people's minds that that's the only place anybody can get it done.
Yeah. It's like I always make this argument with people who bring up the healthcare thing. If you ever go to a KFC and Taco Bell, you know, they're combined there. There's KFC and Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I love I'm a big Taco Bell guy. Let's say I'm against KFC and I love Taco Bell. Well, if they separated them into two restaurants, I would just go to the Taco Bell one, right?
Right.
So if you're Planned Parenthood, just separate all your wonderful healthcare things from abortion and see how much people protest. I'll give you a news, not at all. They're not going to say one freaking word about the Taco Bell side of that. They're just going to protest the KFC side of it. And that is the thing. It's like if you stopped doing abortions, you get all the funding that every other women's healthcare clinic gets. It's just about that. And we all know for you, it's just about that as well.
Legislation is passing through Congress right now to stop tech companies from tracking our online surfing. And it's getting some momentum, I guess, as Congress is trying to crack down now on big tech's privacy practices. On Tuesday, Senator Josh Hawley unveiled a Do Not Track bill with some tough penalties for companies who break the protections. And that revives a debate over whether users should be allowed to opt out of the tracking and data collection. I think you should be allowed to opt out. In fact, you should have to opt into it. I hate the opt out thing because a lot of times you don't know what you're opting out of. You didn't even know you needed to opt out of something.
Yeah, I had an issue with my Yahoo Mail accounts that I started for my children.
Yeah.
So I started them when they were born. I started the email addresses, and I was emailing them little pieces of advice and videos and pictures of like things that we did when they were too young to remember
them. That is adorable, Stu. That is adorable.
I am adorable,
yes,
and I know this.
I like that.
However, it was less adorable when they just deleted the accounts for no reason. And I lost all the stuff that I sent.
Oh, wow.
Now, I say all, and everyone points this out on social media, and I appreciate you coming to my rescue here. There are some that I can save because I sent them from my sent accounts. However, it wasn't just me who was doing it. It was other relatives and things. I mean, it's really annoying. And just to try to repurpose it all back together, it'll be better than nothing.
Did you ever find out why that happened?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It's just there in black and white.
Uh-huh.
It was there in black and white. That's what the customer service representative told me. It's there in black and white.
Okay.
In the very
in the
lengthy
that
agreement that I signed on to when
you
I opened the account.
Accept.
When I pressed accept and did not, of course, read it because no human being on earth has ever read one of these documents. The terms and conditions did apply to me, and because I didn't log in frequently enough.
Oh,
now, of course,
gosh.
It's an account for my kids, not for me.
Right.
And I signed up with. They had to give you a say, hey, if we need to contact you, what are your other email addresses? What's your phone number? I put all that information in thinking that if there was an issue, I would get an alert. I came to the other account and said, hey, you haven't logged in too long of a period of time or whatever is in this agreement you signed.
You got no such
warning. Nothing. So
obviously.
they just deleted them all. And
jeez.
And this is the thing, like you probably can opt out of it. And the way you opt out is not using them. Right, like that is the current thing. If you don't have to, as you would know, Pat, you don't have to use Facebook. This is something that Americans now believe that is
I've
a requirement
that.
Of their life.
Uh-huh.
You can get through it without Facebook, without Twitter, without Instagram. It's possible to live.
It is possible,
and I do think that makes me a little nervous when we talk about new legislation and controls on these companies. In that, you know, there's a difference between what is a right and what is just awesome. And the internet is like one of those things that's just awesome. It's not your right to be on the internet. It's not. You want to pass a constitutional amendment that says it is? Go ahead. Try it. You might even get it through. I mean, I think probably
maybe.
Republicans and Democrats would probably agree that access to the internet
should
in some way should be a right. Maybe they would be able to get that through. But for right now, a company can essentially say, if you want to do business with us, you live by our rules.
And we're going to track you.
And that's that's the reason why this service is free. Like, it's almost like they should say, if you want to pay $9.95 a month for Facebook, then we won't track you at all. And that actually might be a place that makes sense in the middle. Because, you know, I wouldn't pay $9.95 for Facebook because I don't care about
either.
It. However, if I did care about it, I might do that to avoid the tracking. I might say, you know what? Fine. I'll pay $9.95 a month and don't track me. Problem is, so many other things are tracking you anyway, you know. And I understand. So I understand this approach.
I mean, Google, right? Doesn't Google keep track of virtually everything we do online?
Yeah. I mean,
if you use their browser.
I know. I love that because people are like, "Well, I'm able to block this because I'm using you're using Google's. I don't use any Google. Glenn used to say this. I don't use any Google products. I don't use any Gmail or any of that. I don't use Google Maps. None of it because I know I don't want Google tracking me. What browser do you
search?
Use? Chrome.
Yeah.
How do you search?
Google.
But in fact, I don't even call it search. I call it Googling.
And really, what are you going to search with? Lycos? Ask Jeeves.
It's always Ask Jeeves, man. I mean, here's a nice guy who promises never to track you. He's a butler. Jeeves doesn't care about where you're going online. He's just a nice guy.
He's not trying to sell you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And I will say, before you do it, DuckDuckGo is another thing that that will search for you and apparently not track you. However, if you're using it on Chrome, you may have an issue, right?
Yes.
But yes, DuckDuckGo is the big one, the privacy-based search engine that a lot of people will point to. And it does seem to work actually pretty well. It's not like Ask Jeeves, which but I'm sure is great.
There's still no search engine, really, that can compete with Google, right? Even Bing or whatever that is. Yeah. I mean, Bing, I've tried it a few times, and it's not...
Well, yeah.
It's just not Google.
And are you really that excited about being tracked by Microsoft instead of Google? Like, does that
I'm
really
not.
Get you... That doesn't get me hot. I'll say that. It's, you know, it's like you want someone, you have to almost go with a privacy based one that's doing it just for that. And even then, you're still getting tracked at some level by somebody else, your IP company. You know, it's funny because they've been talking about the way these things develop. And so many of them are able to skate through all of these rules.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, as the technology develops, it's developed so quickly, they can't keep up with all of the rules. Now, that's a good reason why it's been so great. That's why the internet has been so great. They haven't been victimized by the business regulation that every other business...
It's been largely left alone.
Yeah.
It's kind of the wild, wild west still.
And the negatives do exist. The tracking's there. There are some negatives to that. But overall, I don't think
it's a pretty good experience.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, because these are private companies, maybe I shouldn't want the government to get involved in cracking down on their tracking. But I do want them to.
It's just one of those things that's annoying enough.
It is.
To just want anyway.
And the other thing I want is for them to stop the robocalls on my cell phone. It used to be that your cell phone, I thought, was like sacrosanct in that regard, that they couldn't call your cell phone. And I think that's when it cost you money when people call you, when they called. But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. So... that opened up the floodgates of robocalls and spammers and scammers. And they're trying to... The FCC is about to allow the phone companies to not complete those calls, which would be fantastic. Now, will some dolphins get caught up in that tuna net where some people that want to complete a call to you are not able to? I'm sure that'll happen. Yeah, there's... Like debt collectors, they're all upset about this.
Well, we got to... Got to get a hold of our debtors and bother them.
Well, okay, but maybe you shouldn't be placing that many calls at a time that the software thinks you're a spammer. I don't know. Maybe leave people alone a little bit.
Well, how am I going to collect my debt?
I don't know, but I want the spam to stop. I don't know how to fix it for the debt collectors, but I want the.
Well,
in fact, I got a couple examples. That I've had just recently on my cell phone, and they do leave messages. If you don't answer, they'll leave you messages. And sometimes it's in Chinese. Have you ever gotten the calls, the spammers in Chinese?
I have not had that, no. Wow. I get these all the time, though.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I get them something about a warranty they want to give me for my car. You get
the
that one all the time?
Warranty people drive me out of my mind.
I'm not going to fall for this. But
I know.
But, of course, this is the type of thing that they don't need a person who's listening to talk radio to fall for it. They need the person who barely knows how to press buttons on their phone to fall for it.
The person who's 75 or 80 and doesn't really understand how it works with spam and scam calls.
Yeah.
And when you get this kind of call, sometimes it can be scary to people.
And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the local police.
Can you believe that? They were going to take me under custody.
Oh my gosh.
By the local police. In my area, local area, they were those police.
Now they didn't bother to tell you what area that was.
They didn't tell me what
because you know it. You're local,
right.
So you know the local area.
I know which police office department is going to come after me.
Right,
I know.
As there are four serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment.
Oh my gosh,
four serious allegations pressed on my name. How many allegations do you have pressed on your name?
I would assume it's not four.
It's not four.
It's got to be one or two.
Guarantee.
Maybe I've, pressed against my name.
I've conducted so much illegal activity that there's four allegations pressed on my name. Gosh. So
we would request you to get back to us.
Well, yeah.
So that we can discuss about this case
we're
before
discuss
taking
about.
Any legal action against you.
Oh, that's nice.
The number to reach us is 518-615-7980.
I only encourage everyone to call that number. only everyone.
Repeat.
They're going to repeat it, so if you missed it the first time.
Okay, good.
515-615-7980.
7980.
Thank
so they want you to call, so I would.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this particular call just this week.
Very time sensitive and urgent that I do hear back from you before we proceed further with suspension of your social and assets.
Can you believe they're going to suspend my social?
Your social is going to be completely suspended. Oh my gosh.
And my assets. Now I don't know what social of mine, my Twitter account, my Facebook, what social. My social security number? You suspend a social security number? Just my social. So
my direct call back number is 386. 243-7865 again.
7865. She's going to say
number
it again.
Number is 386-243-7865.
I would say here, because look, they are soliciting calls to this number. But there's a reason they're soliciting calls.
Oh, that's
right. So you may not want to
You may not want to call.
Because it's not going to annoy them. It's going to wind up putting you on a list, and then you're going to get these calls. So,
you
may want to hesitate before you actually call.
There must be some way that they get that they scam money out of you when you do call.
Yeah, I can't remember what podcast it was. One of these podcasts that looks into strange things in technology. I want to say it was Reply All, but I don't remember which one it was. Anyway, they looked into these robocalls and tried to track the source of them. Which was pretty interesting because there was one guy who was working at a company and I want to say it was TripAdvisor or Yelp. Okay. It was one of those like review companies and they were having issues because legitimate resorts were like getting terrible reviews on, I think it was TripAdvisor, and they were getting these reviews because spam people like this were calling with robocalls and saying, you should call us back and book your free vacation to blank resort. And so people would hear would call, and of course it was a scam. They just redirected them to try to buy some expensive vacation to another crappy resort completely unrelated. They were using a big name resort to cover the fraud, and then the real company was getting the bad reviews. Because people were thinking they're just screwing me.
Wow.
So they went to try to find this, and they tracked it down, you know, to these companies in Mexico and in Central America that were using like one guy in like his living room in the United States to make like hundreds of millions of robocalls.
Wow.
And, you know, the guy wound up getting in a lot of trouble because he did violate all sorts of laws and seemingly just acted. His excuse was essentially, I didn't really know. You know?
Sorry, no,
I didn't,
that
I didn't
doesn't
know.
Work with me.
No.
Is he on death row?
I don't think he is.
He didn't get the death penalty?
He did. I don't think he got the death penalty.
That's wrong.
Almost.
That's wrong.
It was close.
It's just wrong.
People hate those things, man.
Oh. So the guy who was responsible for all those hundreds of millions of robocalls, you found out what he did not get the death penalty.
No.
Right? He's not on death row.
I believe he was fined $120 million, though.
Oh, that's a good start.
Which is a significant amount.
That's a significant amount of money.
A notable amount of money.
Yes.
It was actually, now that I'm remembering it, it was a story from Wired.com. Perhaps the best part of the story is the guy who uncovered the giant robocall scam. Mm-hmm. His name was Fred Garvin. If you know Fred Garvin, male prostitute from the Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Fred Garvin, male prostitute. That was Dan Aykroyd's bit in like the 70s.
Funny. Yeah.
Maybe 80s.
Was it his real name?
It's his real name, I guess. I think it was Fred Garvin. No, maybe it wasn't his real name. I can't remember. Because this guy's become like the robocall hunter. Because he found this one particular guy, but he had made over 100 million phone calls, robocalls, and was fined $120 million. Was dragged in front of Congress. I'll tweet the article out while you're being tracked by your all of your technology,
yes,
you can now be tracked to look at an article with a guy whose name is the same as a male prostitute. So I don't know what that's going to do to your future employment prospects, but read it anyway. It's really fascinating because, I mean, you realize that, like, it's almost impossible for them to stop it because you're talking, they can create fake numbers. They can,
they roll over. I mean, as soon as you block one call, it just rolls over to the next number.
Yeah. And the way they had to do it was the guy signed up for like as many shady lists as he could with his cell phone and then hoped he would get robocalls and started recording the robocalls so that he could try to track them. Because it could give you legitimate numbers you can call, which then forwards you to some offshore, phone bank where they don't even know necessarily where the call came from. They don't know that you were told that you're going to get some Marriott resort. They just know sell them this timeshare. Right, like they mm-hmm. it's like there's all these disconnected pieces. Not everyone knows which part is which. The guy at the end of the road might not even know if what he's selling is real or not, and they might not even be in the country. So how do you even track it down? It's just it's one of these things that I think like it feels good for legislators to try to come up with a rule to stop it because it's so freaking annoying.
Yes, it is.
In the end of the day, though, are they going to be able to stop someone in Bangladesh from making phone calls?
So many of them are overseas.
Yeah.
So many of them are out of the country. And you can tell when they say things like,
and once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the...
You'll be taken under custody.
local police.
By local
there
police.
There are four serious allegations pressed on your name.
When they say things like, there are going to be four serious allegations pressed on your name, they're probably not English speakers. So it's coming from somewhere else.
It's funny, though.
And you can disregard it.
They say that the whole scam when it comes to the Nigerian prince situation. Mm-hmm. If you're in the middle of a negotiation with a Nigerian prince, maybe yours is real. I don't know. Usually, though, the Nigerian prince did not just fall out of power and have $100 billion he wants to split with you.
Really?
Yeah, it's usually not the way it works. Huh. And a lot of times you get those emails. And you read them, and you're like, how could anyone fall for this? Like, they're not even mm-hmm. spelling the words right. They're not in the right order. Mm-hmm. I get the idea that, he's supposed to be a Nigerian prince, so maybe he wouldn't have perfect English. But you get the thing mm-hmm. of, if you're going to make a multi-million dollar transaction with someone you've never met, perhaps they should know the language a little bit.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
And so you think, why can't they even take the time to spell the words right? Why can't they even take the time to understand the language well enough? And there's a very specific reason why they do that, is because anyone with any sense is not going to fall for this. So the calculation by the people in doing the Nigerian scam,
they don't need to speak perfect English.
Right. Well, and more than that, they actually intentionally will not speak perfect English. They intentionally will spell words wrong because only a person who would think a multi-million dollar transaction is about to happen with a guy who can't spell half the email correctly, only that person who's gullible enough to think that is going to actually go through with the whole scam. The person who is smart enough to say, I'm not going to answer this because they can't even spell the words right, that person isn't going to fall for the scam. So they wind up wasting their time sorting out people who are interested or are trolling them or are interested enough to make that first outreach, but not interested enough to go to their bank account and give bank account numbers out. They need the person who's gullible enough to think, well, this Nigerian prince out of nowhere emailed me unsolicited, can't speak the language, can't spell the words. However, let me give them my bank account number. That's the person they need, because that person is the person who's going through with the whole thing. And it's fascinating because I think a lot of that happens with these robocalls, too. They're so bad. But if you hear someone saying you're about to get arrested by local police, or excuse me,
and once it gets expired after that, you will be taken under custody.
Under custody.
Taken under custody.
If you take it under custody,
yeah.
Maybe those are the people that actually fall for it.